All right, let's start. First, thanks to all the organizers. It's great to be here again, and thanks for, to all of you to come here. My name is Paul Menzel, and I'm talking about disaggregated networks today. Just a few words. I'm a free software enthusiast. My day job is a system architect at the Max Planck Institute for Molecular Genetics here in Berlin. And we have two server rooms, a lot of servers, and also, of course, a network. It's 10 gigabits now, but there are big genetics data files, sequencing files, and they need to be moved around, and we also use NFS for this. And my main interests are core boot and the Linux kernel, and trying to optimize system boot time. That's my pet peeve. All right, but today is about switches, and we wanted to replace some switches and some data center switches, so with 10 gigabytes, or access switches with 1 gigabyte ports, and it turned out until now we had all these systems which were pretty close, right, and all from Brocade and Juniper, all of those had different interfaces. You had to learn the syntax. Some colleagues use the web interface. It's also different, and it's also hard to optimize, right? And we are pretty well-versed in the Linux ecosystem, so we were looking for white box switches, which a lot of which means that you can basically install the operating system you want on those, right? And then, I mean, the big hyperscalers, they already understood the same reasons, right? They have Linux experts, personnel at their hands, and so they want to leverage this this knowledge and also apply it to the switches, and so they want to consolidate the operating system environments where they operate in. I mean, a similar approach is done with BMCs or, for example, a firmware space, right? Where the hyperscalers also try to move to Linux boot. So they have the knowledge if there is a problem, they can fix it. And yeah, just to give an so that's basically what it means, disaggregated networks. Yeah, aggregation, you are you're using one vendor, right, and you disaggregate it by being independent from the vendors and being able to use your operating system and install it on all the different hardware vendors also. So there's a small overview of the current networking operating systems. That's NOS, N-O-S. So a lot of you probably know OpenWRT, OpenWRT, which is pretty established in the consumer space for routers. It's, I mean, it's also started for wireless routers, right? But today you can also use it for switches. Then in 2013, big switch networks, they created Open Network Linux, ONL, which is based on Debian Linux, and they're, I will go a little bit more into the details, but to say it right now, it's currently unmaintained, right? It's a little bit sad, and because there are also now so many distributions, and in my opinion, a lot of work is wasted because of this. Then there are some of these vendor systems, Arista, EOS. It's also based on Linux, but yeah, you have to ask them for the sources and so on. It's, in my experience, not very open. Cumulus, they started to become open, but then NVIDIA acquired them. And now they also only focus on NVIDIA, AKA Mellanox devices. And they closed down also a little bit, although the work they are doing, pretty good upstream work in my saw. Then there's Sonic, the new kid at the block, not new anymore, but and this is currently the most the network operating system with the most drive, I would say. And a big reason for this is that Microsoft, the Azure department, is using it and is pushing it, and it's also part of the Open Compute project. Then there is Dentos, which I will focus a little bit on today, which is part of the Dent umbrella. Dent is from the Hitchhiker's Galaxy, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the name, Arthur Dent. And yeah, and but under this umbrella, it could be that more distributions show up, one of which is Replica 1, which is based on Gen 2, and then there's also BISDN Linux, which is based on Yocto, and yeah, and the company is here in Berlin, but I never met them. Okay, yeah, so the question is, what is different? Actually, there is not so much different, right? There's also an ecosystem, so silicon vendors, which is often ARM and chips, but also x86 chips, so there are Intel Xeon switches out there. And then somebody takes this, makes a board out of it, then somebody creates a whole device out of it, so ODMs, OEMs. And then there are also contractors, service integrators, which give support also and sell it, and of course the end users. One big thing about this is that Commodus networks, and when it started in the umbrella of the Open Compute project, they wanted to have a unified loader, right? Which is so that you can install stuff. Vendors, because you can now run your favorite operating system on all switches, you now want to have an environment where you can easily install these operating systems. And then they made up a new protocol, let's say, and this is ONI, Open Network Installation Environment. So they see in 2013 was the first commit by Commodus Networks, and yeah, they have actually well-written docs, and but currently, in my opinion, it's also kind of dormant. Everybody seems to be happy with it or don't want to invest so much into it to improve it. They're currently still on Linux 2.4 or something like this. And so besides adding new hardware stuff, yeah, to the project and dumping it on it, and in my opinion, it's also not really well reviewed, so everybody just sees, okay, it works, and then it can be committed. There's no other standard, I would say. And yeah, then there are regular releases, but it's basically just, okay, this new switch was added or something like this. And yeah, as said, it's in 2020, there was a last bump of the Linux kernels, which is still not, I mean, not a lot of maintenance work, right, just to bump the version. It's basically a Linux, a small Linux environment for the kind of an init RAMFS, I would say, which is based on Buildroot or CrossTools. So you build all the tools you need to run on the system, and then you can run some standard scripts which are defined by the ONI specification. Then you can install, deinstall, update your systems. And the vendors, they also always think about components which you want to update, right? So there are some small circuits which, for example, control the ports, the SFP ports, for example, CPLD. And they also have firmware, and then in this environment you can, for example, update it. That's the idea. But why not do it in the end natively? Is out of my. I don't understand it, but yeah, they probably want to have it proprietary and closed source. Yeah, and so the other thing why it's hard to be maintained is, for example, it also only includes the U-boot version, which you need for the device, and instead of upstreaming the U-boot support, yeah, they just put the patches in the machine directory. Yeah, then they, it's not reviewed, they apply it, and it it's fire and forget, right? So that's also, at least from my point of view, not optimal. Yeah, but it's, I will come back to it in the end, but I think that's kind of the firmware culture or the network culture with a lot of tight schedules, and because I have always done it with it, it's hard to change it. And if customers don't require it, then they will get away with it, I would say. Yeah, and so in the end, you will have problems to rebuild the stuff. You always need, because you now cannot use the current compiler, for example, which you probably have in your operating system, then you need to first build their version, and you don't know what problems there were with this toolchain. So it's not an optimal solution, let's say. And for example, if we got this one Dentos switch, right? And there's a support for U-boot. It's Edge Core, and you explicitly have to ask them for the sources, right? And then there's one guy which goes around then and collects the sources somehow. So it took them like a month to give the U-boot sources, for example. Yeah, and it's also just a code dump, unfortunately, but also with a tool chain, which is good, but otherwise, they could save a lot of time if they would upstream it. Yeah, it's on the other hand, it's easy to build. They build it, they configured it themselves. It's based on build root and cross tools, so it's and make files, so you just can build like this. So the quality review quality, I would say, is not very good. Yeah, they get a pull request or merge request, and then they just accept it as soon as it builds, and they trust, okay, it runs, and then nothing else is done, unfortunately. I think if they would upstream it on the U-boot mailing list, there would be also some code comment, code quality things they could address and be made aware of. Yeah. Okay. Then also what's different, at least from the networking perspective, you have a switch in ASIC, and an ASIC is an application-specific integrated circuit. In this case, it's special hardware which is optimized for receiving network packets and doing some stuff with it and then sending it out or edit it in some kind of way, and this is actually the only difference. But you can think of it as a device, as you put an extension card in a server. So actually, I would say there's no difference. But from the hardware vendor's perspective, there is, and there are also companies which are very non-open, I would say. There's Broadcom, which had, for example, two interfaces in the past. That's OFDPA and OpenNSL. And then you always have to directly contact. They don't provide it for download, right? You always have to ask your vendor, okay, can you provide me those binary blobs which you need, and those are only running with a special kernel version which they supported back then, so you're also pretty dependent on this. And now with Sonic from Microsoft, they base everything on SAI, which is a switch extraction interface implementation, and unfortunately, it's also kind of the same situation with the like with the NVIDIA proprietary graphics driver in Linux. So you, anytime you cannot easily update the Linux kernel, you're still dependent, on the supported versions. So and they actually only in Sonic they only support the versions which are shipped by Debian, right? Currently, when they update to Debian 12 or so, they will support Linux 6.1, but all the nice gimmicks we hear about, which entered the Linux kernel after 6.1, you probably cannot use those. But the thing is, because Microsoft has is such a big customer and has so many data centers they run, they have a big can put pressure on the chipset switching ASIC vendors to support SAI, and then you see here you have quite some hardware support there, which is a big plus for those. Then we also have a switch dev interface, which is natively in the upstream Linux kernel. So if somebody supports this interface, you can should be able to use any Linux kernel version you want to, which is a big plus. So it's kind of the AMD GPU or Radeon side of things, I would say. And the other big advantage with it is you can use a normal Linux IP IP route tools, right? You can use IP and bridge and so on. For all the other OSs, you often have to use their special name tools because, yeah. And but as always, as was also AMD GPU Radeon, they still require firmware, right? And but it's upstream, and it's you can install it in lib firmware. It's in the Linux firmware repository. You can just download it. And there are one example. So Cumulus with Mellanox, they are using SwitchDev, and Marvell with their Prestera switches, they also use SwitchDev and push the firmware to the repository where you also get the other firmware. Then OpenWRT, they use the DSA distributed switch architecture. I'm not so much the Linux kernel coder, so I just can tell you what stood in the documentation, but it's also somehow using a little bit the SwitchDev interface. So, but why it cannot be unified, I'm not totally sure. All right, now a little bit back to history. So Open Network Linux, in 2013, it was founded by Big Switch Networks, part of the Open Compute Project, but it's currently unmaintained. Big Switch Networks was acquired by Arista, and then they shut down the Open Network Linux, and there was nobody else who picked it up, unfortunately. I'm still surprised because it was actually under the Open Compute umbrella, so I would have thought some other vendor would pick up, but yeah, it wasn't like this. And currently, some of the hardware vendors, they still push a patch occasionally to fix some LED component or to add a new hardware, but in my opinion, and Steven, one of the last maintainers who just submits these merge pull requests after build testing them, somehow they have a hard time communicating and just shutting down the project. But in my opinion, to have an unmaintained project, yeah, which probably has a lot of security bugs and so on, shines a bad light on the ecosystem than just saying, okay, if nobody steps up from you and pays maintainers or put some development work into it, we will shut it down. Yeah, so, and even from there's also bad communication, yeah, from the Open Compute Project. There's some Kevin Kiver, and he just edited the repository directly. Besides, he should have never had access, in my, as far as I understood. And Steven, the actual maintainer, said, what's the reason? I'm the maintainer, and I was not informed. So communication also with Amazon projects is, in this regard, I will also tell with Dent, is it could be improved. Yeah, currently it's based on Debian 9. I think that's now old stable, and they use Docker to build it and have a lot of Python and YAML files, and yeah, they support the installer environment only. Now let's go to SONiC. It's software for open networking in the cloud, or Dent's its abbreviation for this. It's used in Microsoft Azure. They, of course, also wanted to consolidate their environment. Yeah, on all the switches, they want to have the same operating system, and this, that's for whatever reason they invented their own. Why they couldn't use Open Network Linux, I'm not sure. And yeah, it was introduced in 2016. They open sourced it, and yeah, and there's the quote. Ideally, we would like all the benefits of the features we have implemented and the bugs we have fixed to remain intact, even as we ride the tide of newer switch hardware innovation. Yeah, and they are also not being dependent on the vendor, on OS vendor to fix stuff. I mean, we all know that's a benefits of free software. And actually, that's the same stuff Facebook says when they tell about using free firmware in their servers, right? Linux boot. Yeah, they use Xi, and yeah, I don't know why, but they run a Docker daemon on the switches and say that it's a big advantage for them. I mean, here are a lot of container folks in here, so I. Maybe there are advantages, and you see it. But for switch hardware, I'm not convinced yet. But I haven't also used it so much. They have a dedicated Linux kernel development repository. Everything is on GitHub, and yeah, currently they apply over 200 patches. And there is always also the same story again. They don't upstream it right away, and the vendors just want to drop it to get their product out. And then, I mean, they are better than Open Network Linux, in my opinion. They do a little review, but there's not a lot of push to get those upstream. And then in the end, all the porting work is left to the Sonic community, and so maintenance is quite hard then also. But yeah. And now Cumulus, one last sentence. Cumulus, so Mellanox with NVIDIA, they were also forced, NVIDIA, they bought Mellanox with Cumulus, so that's their preferred operating system because they have the control over it. But now, because of Sonic and the data centers, a lot of people say, no, we want to use Sonic, so Mellanox is also forced to support Sonic. So you also see patches from them in there. All right, now on the focus of today, that's Dent. Sonic is also part of the Open Compute project, and I think not the Linux Foundation yet, but Dent is part of the Linux Foundation. It was founded in 2019. It was basically driven by Amazon. Yeah, the initial use case will focus on retail industry with premium members, including Amazon, Cumulus Networks, Delta Electronics, Marvel, Mellanox, Wistron. Cumulus was acquired by NVIDIA, and NVIDIA wanted to not support the competition, let's say, or, so they basically stepped back and left this project, I would say. So the current members are Amazon, so they have walk-in stores in the US, and they some of those are unmanned, so you just put your credit card in when you enter, and then you take your products, and then you walk out. I've never been in one, but maybe you have been at the airport or so. And so there are sensors and cameras and all those stuff, so a lot of networking stuff, so they need a lot of switches also in these stores, and that's why they also wanted to have it maintainable and also wanted to consolidate on one platform, and they started their own project again, and Delta and EdgeCore Networks, those are the switch manufactured ODMs, I would say, and then Marvell is a silicon vendor. So Amazon, I mean, they buy thousands and thousands, ten thousands of switches, right? And we probably bought 30 or something like this. So they have a lot more moat in this, and also pay more developers, although it's often quite hard to see what they're actually doing. At least from the commits in the Linux in the DentOS repository, there's not much. Compared to Sonic, there are only a few devices supported. So that's basically the Marvell devices with the Prestera switch, so 10 gigabits and 1 gigabit switches. Mellanox, because they support SwitchDev also, would also be supported, but it's not well tested, right? And I said Cumulus left the project, so you could probably get it working, but there's only one device on the list, but it's probably not not well tested anymore. And the other guy, stuff is from Delta and Winstron. and Acton. That's Acton is EdgeCore, the same name. Yeah, so that's the biggest downside. So there's DentOS. So the Dent umbrella has an operating system, one operating system, but there could be others as well. And that's called DentOS, DentOS. It's an ONL fork. So when you hear the talk of the guy who's part of Dent, he says, well, they created something new or whatever, but if you look at it, and then it's just a Dent an open network Linux fork in 2020, and then yeah, basically they just removed a bunch of stuff because they said we only support switch dev, and all the rest they removed, or just from the build script. I think they didn't remove the files, and then you see there were some releases, and Amazon uses those on thousands of switches in production, so that works, but they are also dependent on the Marvel switches because no other vendor just committed to the switch dev stuff, unfortunately. The new features are, so nobody maintains the ONL build system. As said, this is a Debian system as a base, and then there are some Python and YAML scripts to install some more packages. I will say a few words more about it in the end. Now, because of the hardware shortage, support shortage, they want to introduce a size hardware layer, an additional interface. It looks like they cannot force the other device chipset silicon vendors to support switch dev, so they now budged in apparently to also support Psi, but they want to have a translation interface so that you can still use the network tools. I think that's not a good idea. In the end, we will probably see only Psi stuff, and Marvell also introduced Psi stuff for Sonic. So I hope not, but there's not a lot of communication, and they already did the work. Also, I have a good testing framework, so it looks like Amazon already decided and will enforce it on the project. Let's say this. One good thing is Dent did some upstream work in the Linux kernel to better support ONI, the installation environment variables. There had to be some work. They financed the Bootlin folks. And also, I don't know if this work was funded, but there's one one contractor or one support company, Satura from Croatia. They implemented support that you can, when you plug in an Ethernet cable or a cable into a port, depending on the MAC address, it figures out what VLANs to put this port into. And that's what was funded, which is quite nice. I think Sonic also does some upstream work. But on the end, one probably has to say that and that's now kind of the summary I will go into. So the original question was, so what's the difference between server and switches, right? So in my naive world, I would say, okay, I have a Debian distribution in Fedora, and I now have the switch, I have this ONI environment, and I have a Linux environment there. I can partition the device, and I can just, it's just an ARM device, an x86 device, and I can just install my Fedora stuff, yeah? So what's the problem? So even with switch dev, the problem is there are some other components like the fans, the LED stuff, the CPDL, this controller stuff, and the monitoring drivers. And these are all not upstream, right? So you have to build your Linux kernel. I'm not so much into the ARM single board controller stuff, but I guess maybe that's the same. Maybe it's similar there that you always have to build your own Linux kernel. But actually, there is no difference. If the vendors or if the customers would pay somebody to say, okay, upstream all the U-boot patches, upstream all the driver patches which are flying around, then I could just treated as a normal environment, which I'm already running on my servers, desktops, laptops, whatever. Yeah, but that's the biggest problem with this, and this is currently not possible. But I think the customers, they have to demand it, right? And then because currently, I mean, all the cool stuff about security and so on, if you care about this, you cannot actually use it, right? I don't know if Sonic does, yeah, but for Dent, they don't have this UKI stuff, yeah? If it would be a normal distribution, we could use it today, right? And the customers, I actually don't understand why this data center ecosystem developed in this way. I mean, maybe it's a big, without having the background, maybe it's a real big leap from coming from proprietary or closed switches to white box switches and being able to run some network operating system. But we saw it was 2013, which where the idea was developed, right? So 10 years later, one would hope it's that there would be the next step. Yeah, but yeah, maybe from the vendor's perspective, I also don't understand, because I think the maintenance work to maintain all these patches from the different branches and not being able to just move forward is actually costing them more than to upstream early, get free review early, right? That's the other thing. And put more effort on the community. So maybe I would say a lot of stuff is also, yeah. So that's basically the thing. But I think also the customers, they have to request it, right? Go on the nerves of the Nervenkind, so bug the vendors to ask him, okay, give me the source for this, where is it, and it doesn't build, and there's a security issue here, please fix it, and so on. So maybe really bother them that they think, okay, get lost, and we here's the source code, leave me alone. But me alone or my institute where I work alone, we will never reach it, right? And I don't know why Amazon doesn't do it. Or puts more pressure on it. There are some mailing lists for the Dent project, but they are very, not a lot of stuff is posted there. And then there are weekly committee meetings from the technical steering committees, from the upstream workgroup committee, but it's on Zoom and I participated in one or two of them. I don't know, it's a lot of, It's not my environment, let's say it like this. A lot of talk, a lot of people I have a feeling are unprepared, and then it feels like a waste of time. And so I would much more prefer the mailing list approach. Yeah, so let's hope the proven processes like upstreaming first. What is Google also sometimes doing, or other bigger companies, which I think do it better. Let's hope it will change, maybe like with Android. Greg often now says that it's gotten better for Android, the Linux kernel situation. For the Dent umbrella, as I said, there's Dentos, but there could be also other operating systems like Replica One, which is based on Gentoo, which adheres to the standards of Dent, which wants to have an upstream environment. And tomorrow I want to recommend there's a talk from Jakov Petrina about Replica One at from 2:30 to 3:10. All right, I hope you got a little bit more insight and don't have the research stuff about the things I had to find out a little bit about, but maybe there's a little bit more time. Maybe if you operate switches or network environment, maybe you can share your experience or ask any questions. But first, I want to thank you for your attention. Thanks. Are you running already like Cumulus or somebody here in data center? Yeah. And are you happy with it, or?
Well.
Sorry.
I share my experience. I recently actually bought Mellanox switches with Cumulus. Actually, Cumulus was the deciding factor between that and Arista. But in the end, I'm not so sure anymore of my choice because NVIDIA people are pushing, well, I choose Cumulus because I come from a system administration background, not just networking. All my colleagues are system administrators with no networking background, but with good Debian experience. So I hope that this way also my colleagues could work on network operations. Now I see that the NVIDIA people are pushing for using their own configuration layer on top of Cumulus NV instead of using the usual Linux primitives. So I'm not so sure anymore if this is a good choice. And also, as we know, after Cumulus was bought by NVIDIA, Broadcom cut them off from the SDK. So now Cumulus is an NVIDIA-only product. I knew about this, but still it's not nice. And Sonic, from my point of view, is still too rough and too much oriented towards automation, high-level automation, which is not always appropriate at my own scale.
And Cumulus, I mean, you're a Debian guy, Marco. Could you just install Debian and your own Linux kernel on there, or is there too much?
Well, you could install, actually, probably yes. I'm not sure that all the drivers needed are in the Debian kernel. If you look at the kind of patches that are submitted from the NVIDIA people, you will see a lot of switch dev patches and this kind of thing, which is supposed to allow you to totally control a modern switch with just Linux kernel and the normal Linux network user space. I have not tried. At my scale, I do not have the time to do this kind of experimentation.
Yeah. And other thing which I can say about NVIDIA, if you look at the quality of their Linux kernel patches at least, or Mellanox or Cumulus, former employees, my expression is, impression is these are really high quality. So this is also bad because I don't want to use Cumulus, but actually they have really good driver developers, probably the same with the NVIDIA proprietary Linux kernel.
Yes, on the other end, Cumulus appears to be stuck at 3 Debian releases ago, and I don't know if there are any plans to actually bring it forward and rebase it on a newer Debian. I don't know what are their plans.
Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing your experience. Any other questions? Then thank you very much. Enjoy the break.